Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Adam Small. This is an interview between myself and Elder Weatherford T. Clayton, a General Authority 70 of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and his wife, Sister Lisa Clayton. The Claytons and I talked over Microsoft Zoom before their BYU Idaho devotional. Elder Weatherford T. Clayton was sustained as a General Authority 70 on April 2, 2016. At the time of his call, he and Sister Clayton were serving as president of the Canada-Toronto Mission. He married Lisa Madeline Thomas in 1976, and they are the parents of five children.
Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Our pleasure.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you both doing, by the way? I mean, I know we talked a little bit about this before, but I mean, what's daily life looking like for you both now?
It is still self-isolation in one form or another is continuing. Our children have been very good about keeping themselves self-isolated, so we're able to be with some grandchildren and so on recently, which was great. The work at headquarters that I'm involved in is going on all the time, so I have Zoom meetings through the day and emails. My particular responsibility is missionary health services, so there's always something going on in that arena. How about you, love?
Well, we've been loving having grandchildren around. They were very careful to quarantine, so we've had some good time with them.
That's true.
I have been doing a lot of family history work and sewing lots of masks. Being involved with the Relief Society's project has been just a joy, working with the sisters in our ward. And that's wrapping up this week. 5 million masks. Mission accomplished. So that's been fun.
Wow. Bless those sewing machines if you're using those. So where are those masks going to?
I don't know. The Relief Society will determine that where the need is. I haven't heard exactly where they're going. I know we turned ours in, and then they move up the chain.
They're partnering with government resources and so on to get the masks out where they're needed. So the church is doing a lot of partnering with local governments and so on.
Oh, awesome. And when you say the Relief Society, are you talking about just the specific ward that you both are in, or is that a like?
No, Sister Jean Bingham announced an initiative a little over 5 weeks ago and promised 5 million masks in 5 weeks. And so the word went out. I think it's probably just Wasatch Front involvement, because our daughters in California haven't been invited to do it, but and then the word went down to the stake and then down to the ward, and our ward committed to 300 masks every week. And so we've sort of, the nice thing about that is we have felt like we've been involved in something bigger than our little house, something bigger than our little, very small world these last few weeks.
Yeah. So, something much bigger. I mean, 5 million masks, that's quite a project. So, so that's awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing well. I always just like to check in when I talk to a general authority, because I know general authorities are so used to traveling a lot of the time and ministering to different states, different countries. And then I get to talk to a few of you about, you know, how you're having to stay around church headquarters and focus on projects there. So I'm glad about the face mask thing. I'm glad that's gone well for you. Another thing I wanted to ask too was, Elder Clayton, I know, because I know you're working in the missionary department, and the missionary world has gone through quite a few changes in the past couple of months. I think that's an understatement. What's like the general consensus for missionaries? Because I know a lot have gone home. I know a lot have been reassigned to the U.S. I know international missionaries are pretty limited. Tell me about the missionary world right now. What's the big things going on?
It's a very interesting time across the church, in the missionary department as well, as you can imagine. COVID-19 was totally unanticipated, and it's brand new, which means we don't know much about it. At this point in time, we still aren't certain what antibody testing results actually mean, for example. And there are certain groups of people that are higher risk than others. Because of that, we have needed to protect different missionaries. And that's been hard, because we've asked some to come home who are really having a wonderful experience on their missions, but they're at higher risk. And so what that has meant is not that their current health wasn't the concern. The concern was if they contracted the illness, would the chronic condition they have be add to the illness they had, and they would be much sicker. And so it's required a lot of change. The global level 4 travel advisor of the United States, the repatriation of missionaries around the world in different ways, and now missionaries are serving their home countries. We've learned an awful lot about technology, the power of technology. So many people have been receiving the lessons, have been finding the missionaries at this time through technology. And a lot has been prepared and produced by the missionary department to help mission presidents, missionaries in sharing the gospel, teaching the gospel effectively. And so I think what we're seeing in the church and in the missionary department is we're coming not back to where we were, but we're coming to a new normal. And that new normal is being determined. So we'll see what it will look like. But I'm certain that the Lord will use this experience to help us truly accelerate the work in ways that we never would have considered in the past. The other thing that's so interesting in my mind is over the last years, the Lord has taught us that we live in a home-centered, church-supported gospel environment. And isn't it interesting how that very thing has made it that so that we could worship at home with our loved ones, strengthen our loved ones, strengthen our families through video conferences and so on if they're not living with us. And it was not a difficult thing. It was actually just an extension of what we'd already been doing. So I'm just so interesting to see how the Lord is laying things ahead of us so that we'll be ready for changes as they occur. So it's a very interesting time.
Can you imagine our reaction as families if we all went into quarantine, if we didn't have Come Follow Me? All these families would have been scrambling for primary texts and how do I do this? How do I do this? But with Come Follow Me, everyone said, oh, we've been practicing this. We can do this. The prophet had it in place for us already.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, it's amazing how those things line up to see all the things that we have now. That because I can even think back even, say, 5 years ago when I was at that point, I would have been about the middle of my mission. I can only imagine this happening, one, as a missionary, and two, just with how many more resources that have come out since then that can help us through something like this. I think it's incredible how it's lined up and whatnot. I wanted to ask too, with missionaries in particular, I spoke with Elder Peter M. Johnson of the 70 and his wife, Sister Stephanie Johnson, a few weeks ago. And he was talking about, I think it was he and Elder Christofferson, they did a video conference with missionaries, I believe it was in Arizona, if I'm remembering correctly. How often is that happening with general authorities to missionaries in certain missions? What's that layout like right now?
Oh, it's happening a lot. I know that the apostles are doing Zoom calls with 70, with area presidencies, to missionaries, to priesthood leaders, and so on. This is become an effective way of having them stay in contact with people because we can't go to meetings. That's not something we can do at this time. And so that's happening all the time. I was just talking to a general authority a few minutes ago who this very morning had a Zoom call with one of the apostles and a mission in the eastern United States. So it's happening a lot. The technology is working. The number of people who have felt the Spirit as they're taught online is just remarkable. And so as the brethren teach using technology, the Spirit, it's there. You can feel it.
Yeah. Something I've learned, especially since watching this last general conference, that the Spirit knows no bounds nor distance. And I feel like if we are hearing the words of Christ, that we can feel the Spirit manifest. And so I'm glad that missionaries are able to have that ministering, because I think back to my time as a missionary, and I remember that there are points that you just, you have your down days, and you have those days that you feel alone, you feel homesick, you're not finding people to teach, even though you're working, you're your tail off, doing all you can to try to please the Lord. And you add on top of that, this everything happening with the coronavirus, and so many missionaries are confined to their apartments on top of that. I can only imagine how vulnerable and in need they must be to hear words from general authorities and the Lord's witnesses. I can only imagine how much that must mean for them, just as I think back to my time. So,
amen.
I wanted to ask you guys about your talks. Actually, I actually got a little preview. I did get to review a copy of those. So, Elder Clayton, in your message, you speak a lot about hearing the Lord's voice, and Sister Clayton, yours talks about being willing and opening our hearts up to change ourselves and to better ourselves. When you two were preparing these messages, what were some of the circumstances that either BYU Idaho students might be facing, or maybe just anyone else listening in general? What were some of the circumstances of the audience that you took into consideration as you prepared these talks?
You want to start?
Yes. We've had so much fun thinking about and pondering about the students at the BYU I and wishing we would be coming to visit and meet with everyone in person. Part of my process has been, we have a lot of our return missionaries from when my husband was mission president at BYUI, and thinking about them and what their challenges are and the things that they're going through. And then all of that seems to be multiplied by the coronavirus challenge, that hearing what the Lord has to say and being willing to do it, as opposed to being unwilling to allow this to change us. We talked about so many changes in the missionary department. I think all of our hearts have been changed by this change of pace, change of location, and change of circumstance for all of us. So I think I sought the Lord's direction in, well, what do the students need? Where are they, where are they being challenged right now?
I love that. It's so true. Let me show you something. This is my mask, and we are using it when we're out, not because
I made that mask.
She made it. It isn't to prevent me from catching coronavirus from others, but it's to prevent me from giving it to others if I have it. So wearing a mask is a kindness to other people. As we were considering this time, for me, it was so interesting that all of a sudden it became very clear that what I was to do was to help the students look to the words of Christ through different sources, and that they needed to have reinforced to them some of the teachings that came in General Conference. The power of hearing Christ's voice changes everything if every day we are seeking to hear him. When we take the sacrament, we make covenants, right? We promise to take his name upon us, to always remember him, to keep his commandments. As we hear his voice through the day, through the weeks, keeping those covenants is just such a natural thing for us. So it became very clear that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I'm just very, very grateful for the opportunity to share these thoughts. And I pray that others can feel the spirit that I felt as I've listened and prepared these words from the prophets, and then tried to make it something that will be useful for the. We're just grateful to be with the wonderful students of BYU Idaho. It is an honor for us, and this is for us a life-changing experience being with you.
We're grateful to hear from you too. If I speak for the collective audience, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds. I don't think I am, but I actually wanted to actually expound a little bit upon hearing the Lord's voice. Specifically, a thought came to my mind. Can you discuss maybe some of the ways that we can hear the Lord's voice? Because I know the first thing when I looked over your messages, I thought about, you know, hearing the Lord answer prayers through the Holy Ghost. But also, what are some of the ways that we can hear his voice that maybe we don't always think about when it comes to verbatim hearing the Lord's voice?
Well, let me give you a quick. President Nelson did talk about that very thing. I'll talk about that in the talk. One of the things is just wonderful to consider is the scriptures themselves. The Lord uses the scriptures to bring the Spirit into our lives. As you read the scriptures, it's interesting as you read and read with a prayerful heart, trying to really understand the words that you're reading and the context. With time, it feels like as you read Alma's words, all of a sudden you're sitting on a grassy knoll with him in front of you speaking to hundreds of people, but you're there and you're hearing his words because the Holy Ghost has come into your reading and it's become very real, very personal for you. And you hear the words of his words, which are the Lord's words that he was inspired to give. So I think that's one area that's so powerful, is just reading the scriptures in a fashion which we're allowing the power of the Spirit that's found in those words to come into our lives.
I'm reminded of a comment that President Eyring, someone was interviewing him, this was years ago, sort of wanting a specific answer. They said, well, how long should I read my scriptures every morning? You know, how many verses? How long should I be engaged? It was I want a specific. And he paused and he said, well, read at least until you feel the Spirit. The implication being that is the vehicle the Lord has given us to access his Spirit, that we read the prophets, we read their experiences and their words, and then the Lord can fill our hearts and souls with his Spirit.
Another thing about hearing Christ's voice, the Lord really has called prophets and apostles. He, from the beginning of time, he's spoken to mankind through particular people that he has chosen, who then are blessed and led as they are humble before him and do his will, to give the words to each group of people in each epoch of time that they need. The gospel's always the same. The tailoring of the instruction is appropriate to that time and their need, which is what's so beautiful about hearing the voice of the Lord through living prophets today. They are teaching us what we need now in the face of changing cultures, changing economic expectations, the availability of information beyond anything that anyone's ever imagined and from the beginning of time. Everything's at our fingertips. Relationships are altered by that. Expectations for relationships are changing. And so the Lord is giving us through his prophets specific and tailored instruction to help us live the gospel today and stay on the covenant path.
Yeah, I think those are great thoughts. I think that there are so many ways that we can hear the Lord's voice and that we can use the resources that we've been given to our advantage. And that's why I always like to ask your thoughts, because you know you two have been the ones praying and pondering about this for an extended period of time. So you have those ideas and those thoughts fresh in your mind. And I think that a lot of those things can help BYU Idaho students and a lot of different people in general. Because I think all of us right now with after, you know, we're slowly, you know, taking baby steps out of quarantining ourselves for over 2 months. And I feel like we all need the Lord's guidance in whatever way we can find it. So thank you both for sharing that. I think, because I know you two probably have to get going here soon. So I wanted to, I think, ask you just one last question if I could. As you've prepared these talks and you've thought about the circumstances that BYU Idaho students are going through and probably in general too, just the people in general in the world have gone through, and you have these very specific messages that kind of tie in together with one another, what is your ultimate hope for anyone that listens to your devotional messages? What would you want them to do right after the devotional concludes?
That's a great question.
Good question.
Let me begin. Our hope in the talks that we're giving is to help the students at BYU Idaho feel the truthfulness of the gospel and to find themselves strengthened in their capacity to be disciples of Lord Jesus Christ and to be true to the covenants they've made, to recognize that those covenants are blessings from heaven that will protect them as they continue dealing with the challenges of life, that they walk away stronger and more committed.
Yes, yes, definitely. My thoughts exactly. But also something that has been coming to my mind a lot more in the last few weeks as the quarantining and as the world events have unfolded, the number of times I've observed that the Lord has used these challenging circumstances to bring us closer to Him. My hope would be that as we encourage greater communion with the Lord and greater willingness to hear Him and to do what He wants us to do, that we would recognize how He can turn any circumstance to our benefit. He can change the hardest things that happen to us into things that bring us closer to Him. And as we have been so much more aware of our fellow human beings and the suffering that's been going on, my hope is also that as we seek the Lord's will and words, that we recognize how He works in everyone's lives. And that is a takeaway from this challenge, that in 5 years when this is all behind us and we're all doing great, that we still remember any challenge, any blessing, any positive or negative thing the Lord will use to bring us closer to Him, if we allow Him.
Can I add one thing to that too, in conjunction with what my dear wife has just said? By the way, I'm so grateful to be married to this sweet woman. She has been the greatest blessing of my life.
And we've been spending a lot of time together.
It's true.
So that's, you are very kind to say that.
I wanted to, the other thing that I hope will come as we speak is to recognize that the Savior Jesus Christ, somehow in ways we do not even begin to understand, took upon Himself every aspect of our lives. He spent His entire life preparing Himself for performing the atonement, accomplishing the atonement from the beginning of Garden of Gethsemane until He was resurrected, that somehow He purchased us, that we could be redeemed. Every aspect of our lives. I worry that sometimes when our circumstances seem unlike anything anyone else has ever experienced, and through all the millennia, there have been so many times that are terrible and hard. I don't mean to be negative, but just as context, that any of the students who are dealing with hard things or are worried for the future, I just pray they can understand that Christ absolutely understands, because He descended below all things. And it is to Him that we can find the strength we need, ultimately, through the power of our Savior's atonement and grace to overcome all things. There is so much hope. Even in the blackest times, the darkest times, there is hope, so much hope, a perfect hope, if we turn to Him and hear Him.
Thank you both so much. That was beautiful. I think all of us need to rely on the Savior Jesus Christ more than ever right now, because I've been seeing too many stories working as a journalist and a news anchor that people are depressed. They feel alone. They feel scared. They feel unsure about the future. And I think that I just kind of adding on to what you said, I think that as we rely on the Savior and His atonement, he already knows what we're all going through, even though right now we all feel pretty overwhelmed with everything going on. So I just wanted to thank you for that. And I just I think I'm just saying amen to your words. So thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I think that your messages are going to come at the right time for the listeners at BYU Idaho. And just wanted to say thank you for talking, and we look forward to your devotional.
Thank you for talking with us, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you so much.